Blog Talk Radio.
All right, well, there you go. Well, welcome into, yeah, you're sitting there, you're going, what in the world is going on? Yeah, I'm wondering too. None of our sound effects now are working, so this should be a good sign for what we have coming up here. You're sitting there, bottom line is this, you're sitting there, you're going, wait a minute, is it Sunday morning? And you're going, no, it can't be Sunday morning. It doesn't look like it's Sunday morning. And then you're going, well, wait a minute, is it Friday night? No, it's not Friday night. It's Tuesday night. What are these guys doing bringing us a Race Trib Motorsports Hour on a Tuesday night? Well, we kept the garage open late here at Frat House Sports on a very, very special Tuesday night edition. Yeah, you're getting a little bit of bonus coverage. How do you like that?
I was going to say, because apparently our air gun isn't working.
Yeah,
and
the air
gun's
not working.
We're trying to figure out what's wrong.
Exactly. The air gun's not working. Nothing's working in the shop. In fact, see, even the garage is messed up. The garage is going, what are you guys doing here? See, so nobody, but where else do you get bonus coverage? You don't get bonus coverage on NBC. You don't get bonus coverage on Fox. But here, we're bringing you bonus coverage because we're going to be joined in here by a very special guest in just a couple of moments. And, well, tonight was the night that we had to do it. So, For all of our gearhead friends out there who listen to our Race Trib Motorsports Hour program regularly, I thank you for jumping in here and joining us this evening on a Tuesday night, a rather odd Tuesday night, a little bit unusual, like I said. And this whole week is a little bit unusual because, look, this is one of the few times during the course of the season we will have a Friday night program because, of course, we have Bristol coming up on Saturday night. So, you just heard one of the mechanics. We've got Sidekick here, and we've got Brandon, and hopefully everything's working all right here tonight with Blog Talk Radio because, you know, the air guns weren't working, as Sidekick just pointed out. Let's see. Are they working now? The air gun's working now. There you go. All right. Well, all right. So, get to work, guys. Anyhow. Yeah. there you go.
Well, at least my the brakes still work in my car.
There you go. Yes, I can see
that.
Yeah,
we are talking about Bristol, so, you know.
Yeah, we're going to need them.
Brakes are going to be at a premium this week there, boys.
We are going to need them. We haven't been on since. There you go. We haven't been on for a little while now, since before, just before Watkins Glen, but you'll get all those updates when we come to you at our regular time on Friday night. Tonight is for one really particular reason, We are joined in here, excuse me, by one of our NASCAR Camping World truck drivers, brand new driver really to the series. We're joined in by Bryce Napier. And Bryce is running right now. He will be running tomorrow night at Bristol Motor Speedway in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. This will be his second race this season in that series, running the Rick Ware Racing number 49. Welcome to Frat House Sports, Bryce. We appreciate you being here tonight.
Hey, thank you for having me on. Yeah, I really really appreciate you guys bringing me on, and looking forward to a good night here.
Well, we hope that Blog Talk Radio cooperates because we've been having a heck of a lot of trouble with them in the past couple of weeks. So we're just kind of keeping our fingers crossed over here. Looks like we got the air gun working anyhow. So that we're happy about.
Hey.
Bryce, before I get into talking about this upcoming race, talking a little bit about Rick Ware Racing, talking about Martinsville, before I get into that, what I wanted to do was touch a little bit on your background, where you came from, because we've been on the air now for about 5 years, and in that period of time, I've had the opportunity, and I guess the other guys too have as well, we've had the opportunity to speak to a number of different drivers over those 5 years. And you know what I found really interesting is that more often than not, so many of them come from a family of race car drivers or auto racing or motorsports. Talk to us a little bit about your background. You're a young driver. You're only 17 years old, which I'm going to touch on again. So, you know, get used to it. I'm just going to bring it back again. But talk to us a little bit about your background. Do you come from a family type of racing like so many others?
Yeah, so my dad's dad raced back in England. He did a lot of road course racing and whatnot. But he never raced himself. His brothers never raced. But his real dad did race in England. So that's a little bit far out in the family there, but far out in the blood. But I'm from California, from Santa Cruz. And I just started when I was 2-3 years old playing inside with Hot Wheels and die-cast cars. And I remember I used to get my screwdrivers out and pull the die-cast cars apart. And I would just go crazy with those things and just playing with cars. And then my grandma and grandpa got me my first real race car, as I like to call it. It was a yellow taxi cab, a little power wheel taxi cab. And it was electric, and I was able to drive in my house. And we have a circular floor plan, so I just used to drive it around and around and around every day, just until the battery would run out, my mom would say. And she would have to listen to me just ripping around the house. And then one day I decided to take a little detour and go down the stairs one time. So that was some off-road racing right there. So went down the stairs, and then my parents got me go-karts and raced them in my driveway, and that wasn't enough, so then need some more speed. So then we went down to a parking lot of a big office building near our house on Sundays when no one was around, and we'd race them down there, race them in the rain, and tell the cops would come and kick us out and tell us that we couldn't come back, and we'd come back the next Sunday and do it again. And they finally figured out that we were just racing, so we weren't going to give up. So, but they it was some fun times. And then I started competitive racing at 5 in San Jose. I started in quarter midgets in California racing when I was 5, and I raced those for 4 years competitively. I won quite a few championships, bunch of races in those. And then I moved on from those into what's called a mini cup. And I was racing those in Stockton, Madera, and Roseville. So that was those were more of a real NASCAR style car, if you want to call it. They were like a little like a NASCAR with pixie dust shrinking on it. So they shrunk them down. Just a little 13 horsepower car that I used to race. And moved from those models. Started racing late models for 2 years when I was 14. Until I was 16, raced those, Stockton, Madera, and Roseville, and we went down to Irwindale, down in L.A., and raced all around California in those, and now I'm here in the Camaro truck, so it was definitely a long journey, but not quite to the top yet. Still got to get through Xfinity and Sprint Cup, but I'm fortunate enough to be where I am now in the Camaro Truck Series, which is, I never thought I'd be here, so it's really cool to be here and racing with all the Cup guys and bumping doors with Kyle Busch. It's a dream. So never thought this would be happening, but definitely got to thank God for bringing me up here. I wouldn't be here without him and all the people that have helped me, for sure, my parents and whatnot. So it's been a long journey, but I've made it pretty far so far. Just hope to make it further.
Neat story. Now, Bryce, one of the things that I'll tell you that I have heard from many, many other drivers who we've had on before is they say to me, well, Mike, it's not, you know, listen, it's not a mistake that, you know, we come from, you know, so many of us come from a family of drivers. That's how we make our connections. That's where the connections come in. without that in your background, has it been somewhat more difficult perhaps for you?
Yeah, it's definitely been hard. I've been really fortunate enough to meet a few really significant people that have helped me out quite a lot in my journey, but Dale Hamilton being one of them with the supportmilitary.org. If you saw a picture of my truck for Bristol,
yes.
His charity is going to be on there. So he was Dale Hamilton. He owns supportmilitary.org, which is a great organization that I can go on a little bit more about that later. Talk about what they do. But he's been in NASCAR for many, many years, and he actually owned a cup team at one point, or his partners on a cup team at one point. And he's helped us out a lot. We literally bumped into him at a NASCAR race in Vegas. And so he's been helping us out ever since. And he got me the truck ride at Martinsville, and he's just been bringing me along and helping me out with all the things that we need help with. Because, I mean, it's kind of hard not, like, I have a little funny joke about Martinsville. I showed up to the rookie meet or to the autograph signing, and I'd never been to a truck or never raced in a truck before, so I didn't know what was going on. And I showed up to the driver's autograph signing in my suit. And I show up, and everybody else is in their team shirts, and there sits Kyle Busch in a team shirt. And I'm the only one with my suit on. I look at my mom like, "Mom, what am I doing? I have my suit on." And the PR, the lady that was running the autograph signing, she said, "Yeah, that's how we know who the rookies are." And luckily, three other rookies showed up, and they were in their suits. So it shows I'm new to this, that's for sure. So, yeah, it's definitely been hard doing it without racing, but we've met a lot of people that have brought us along pretty good, and we've had some great help to get us where we are. I'd never be here without Dale Hamilton and whatnot, so you can't just call up a truck team and say that you want to race a truck. It's not quite that easy, so you definitely have to have connections. That's helped me out a lot.
Well, I was just about to ask you, too, whether there has been, you know, as a result through all of this, whether there's been, you know, a couple of different people or one or two mentors. It sounds like what you're saying is Dale Hamilton was one of those.
Yeah,
have there been any others?
Dale's the guy that I've been able to call up and ask questions and ask just things that I don't know what I'm doing. I can call Dale and he's there for me. But not too many. I was fortunate enough to be chosen as part of the Quickie Driver Development Program. Drivers for the Quickie Driver Development Program last year, and that really gave me some good exposure. And they helped me out a lot and taught me a lot of things. And I didn't know, and it was really great because it brought me out to the fans a lot more too. Because I like to go in the stands at every race and at Beaver Park and talk with the fans. And being part of the Quickie program, I was able to talk to them about Alan and all the stories that they had about
right.
Alan Quickie were amazing. Some things I had never known, and all the fans, they could just talk and talk about all their stories. And it was really cool to see what they thought about Quickie and all the cool memorabilia about him being a driver, team owner himself. So that was really cool. And so the Quickie program was definitely one of a big thing that got me where I am for sure. So
talk to us a little bit about Rick Ware Racing. Now, when you were, I guess, in early April, when you were there in Martinsville, unfortunately, I did not see the race, but I would suspect you were running for Rick Ware at that point, right?
So at that point, I was, and right now, I'm a development driver for Rick Ware Racing. And
okay.
At Martinsville, we actually ran for Make Motorsports.
Okay.
So Make ran us there, and this weekend here, I'll be running for Premium Motorsports as a
okay.
Rick Ware driver, development driver. So
okay.
we, yeah, but I've been, Dell hooked me up with Rick to get me a truck with Make Motorsports from Martinsville, and it went really well, so he was able to get me a ride with Premium Motorsport. And so now I'm hooked up with Premium, so I've just been meeting all these people at all the tracks, and every time I go to the track, I meet someone new. Unfortunately, this weekend I have Jeff Spraker as my crew chief with Spraker Racing. And he's a longtime NASCAR legend, so it'll be really great to be able to work with him, and he'll be able to teach me all the all the little tricks that I'll need here for Bristol, never being here before. So that's going to be a challenge. But I think I got some great guys behind me to help me out here and get me through for sure. We're having Jeff with me.
Talk to us a little bit about your first, experience there in Martinsville. Now, first of all, how did that all come about? Because I'm trying to think here. By the time we got to Martinsville, what was that? That was the third race in the truck series already. So two races had been run previously in February. And all of a sudden, you get entered into that April race. How did that all come about?
So we actually, when we were out in North Carolina in December for the Quickie Driver Development Program banquet, Dell Hamilton hooked us up with, or called up Rick Ware and said, hey, Dell just told me, he said, hey, you need to be in a truck. And I said, okay, I don't know how to make that happen, but yeah, that'd be great. And he said, I'm making it happen, don't worry. So he talked to Rick,
wow,
got us an interview set up with Rick, got some meeting with him. And it's all gone on from then. We got the sponsorship together and was able to make it happen. So showed up to Martin before. So that was quite a challenge. Never racing there before, never seen it. It was my first. I'd got to practice a truck once during the week earlier, a couple weeks before. I was able to practice the truck once and get a little bit of practice in. But man, it was crazy.
Wow.
Jumping into a 3,500-pound 700 horsepower truck versus what I've been racing, which is just a little sporty, super late model. It only weighs 2,900 pounds. And out in California, you got the piston brakes and all that. So they're just a Mercedes versus this thing. So it was definitely a handful. And I had to get used to it. I had to get used to the radial tires and the Goodyear tires versus Hoosier tires, which are non-radials. And so it was definitely a lot to get used to.
Wow.
But got it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a baptism of fire.
It was crazy.
There, honest to God.
Yeah, I was definitely
jumping into
something. That would...
You practiced once before the race?
I practiced once not even at Martinsville, at a track in North Carolina. So it wasn't the track that I was going to be racing on. Practiced once. I think I maybe got 100 laps in, maybe. And I'd actually never driven a 4-speed either. My both my late models were 2-speeds, so I had to figure out the 4-speed transmission. That was a little bit tricky, but downshift and everything. When wrecks were coming, you had to slam gears and avoid the wrecks and whatnot. So that was definitely scary, but I made it happen. It wasn't too bad. So I'd learn to do pit stops too. That was that was a big one. I'd never done a pit stop in my life, so I had to figure that out. I don't know who was watching over me and helping me get through it, but it was definitely a challenge, that's for sure.
So I have a question for you, Bryce. Yeah, you're going from Martinsville, which is a flat track, to Bristol, which is a high bank track. Do you have any insights or anything you're going to carry from one track to the other, or is it kind of like a whole different experience, I guess?
Yeah, I'll definitely have the handling of the truck down. It'll handle a little bit differently being on a high bank track like that, but we'll be using a lot less brake because the banking is a lot more forgiving. You can use the bank to slow you down. So it'll be a little bit easier. Definitely going to be a challenge, but I'm not too worried about it. I think I got it down. Should be fine. I went up the track today and checked. It's a steep track. I mean, it's hard to even walk up the corners. So we'll... I'll just go out there and practice and get a feel for it. And hopefully we'll bring the truck home in one piece like we did at Martinsville. So that's the plan. But I don't think it'll be too big of a deal. I've raced on some big tracks before. So nothing this heavy, though, before. I've raced a heavy car with 700 horsepower on it. But it's all be pretty similar to Martinsville. The banking's going to be a little bit of a bad.
I mean, this is it's actually – I mean, guys, listen – listen to him. Listen to how kind of almost cavalier he is. You know, I practiced once before Martinsville. And you're out there, as you pointed out, Bryce, you're out there at Martinsville, and you're bumping doors with – are you ready? Okay, Kyle Busch won the race. Kyle Busch. How about Kyle Larson, Matt Crafton, Parker Kligerman, Rico Abreu, Ryan Truex. These are the other guys that are out there on the track. And with all due respect, I mean, come on now, man. You started 32nd, and you ended that race in 23rd. That's not half bad.
Yeah, definitely. When a lot better than I expected to. I was really happy with my finish. I mean, the only mark I had on my truck from the whole race in Martinsville was from Kyle Busch. I bumped into him one time in the door in the corner. I heard that.
Now, you did it on purpose,
my spotter,
right?
Say,
you did it on purpose. Come on,
no,
admit it.
No,
you won't say that.
You can tell. my spotter told me you got Kyle Larson coming inside you, and then after that you're clear. So in the center of the corner, I thought, all right, I'm all clear. After there goes Kyle Larson. All right, I'm clear. So I went to drop down, and Kyle Busch stuffed it in there as well. So didn't notice he was there and bumped a little bit, but it didn't slow either of us down. I don't think it was too big of a deal. So other than that, the truck was pretty straight. So hopefully that's how it ends here at Bristol. But it's going to be a challenge, that's for sure.
Let me just throw this in there real quick before I forget. Did I understand you? Did you say your father was your spotter?
No. Ford Martin is the spotter, actually.
Oh, okay.
He spots for Ben Rhodes.
Okay, I thought you said it was your father. All right, go ahead, Psychic.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I guess first thing is, you know, how cool is it to be, you know, bumping elbows with some of your heroes? You know, I noticed, Kyle Larson and, you know, Dale Jr. are kind of two of your heroes, for racing. You know, that must be kind of cool to be out on the track and, you know, running around with them, huh?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I used to go to the NASCAR races and walk around in the pits and get credentials so we could go down the pits. I'd be walking around. I'd see Dale Jr. or Kyle Larson. I thought it was the biggest deal ever, and I'd want their autograph and stop and take a picture. And now I just walk. I'm just walking through the pits with them, and it's amazing. I never thought I'd make it this far in my career. So it's got to thank everyone that's helped me get here, and it's just really great to be there with all the drivers. Sometimes I just want to pinch myself. I feel like it's a dream sometimes because it's hard to believe that I could be racing with Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson and all these guys out here. So it's definitely an honor to get to be racing with all of them, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. The other thing I was going to mention was, you've got, you know, supportmilitary.org is one of your sponsors, but it almost seems, you know, from listening to you talk, you know, about Dale and everything that, you know, not only do you have a great sponsor there, but you also almost have like a mentor kind of who's got some, you know, car ownership experience and is kind of helping get you into, you know, into circles and networking for you and trying to get you set up with rides. You know, so it's not, you know, it really seems like a really good kind of fit, you know, because, you know, it's just not the, you know, the money or the, you know, the sponsorship, but, you know, hey, he's trying to get you into, you know, into rides and, you know, all this other stuff to help you with your career. And that sounds kind of, you know, that's amazing to me.
Yeah, it's really great to have Dale right by my side. I mean, he's been to all my races. He'll go to meetings with me or whatnot to get sponsorship. So he's kind of helped me doing everything because he knows what he's doing here in this organization and this racing world. So it's really great to have him because he's someone I can fall back on and someone I can call up when I need help or when I have a question about something. He's always there for me, and he's helping us get some sponsorship deals going. So hopefully I can continue racing this season and next season. So that's really great, and I got to thank him for all he does for me. He does a ton for us and for my family and whatnot. So it's great to have, and also to have his organization on the truck. I love supporting the military, and this weekend we're going to have some heroes out, some military heroes, and some veterans that are going to be coming out that we get to honor, and I'll get to take around the track and honor and give them a great day at the track and get them in a happy place. And so I really enjoy having that on my truck and being able to do that. It's great. So
that's awesome. Now, your first race was in a Chevy, and you're racing in a Chevy this week tomorrow night. Are you in with Chevy? Is it you know, circumstantial? You know, it just happens that you've driven Chevys.
Yeah, we don't have any contract or any connection with Chevy at this point. Nothing that we've got so far. If I run a full season, hopefully we'll be able to connect with Chevy and get something from them, but not at this point. No, it's just been a coincidence that both my cars have been Chevys.
Now, you know, look, I know the answer to this, but I'm going to throw it out there anyhow, and you can give us the details on it. You ran at Martinsville. You ran well, as we just talked about. You obviously can handle yourself in a truck, and yet you don't show up. We don't get you in another race until 9 races later. Why such a long gap in between?
Yeah. I mean, this will be my second race truck. So hopefully we'll begin to do more. Once I'm only approved in my quarter and under, I can't run any super speedways until I'm 18. So hopefully we'll begin more. I'd hope to run Phoenix. I'd hope to run Phoenix in November. So we'll see how it goes. Funding comes through, we'll be going there as well.
Is that a requirement, the ages, to run at the super speedways? I've noticed.
Yeah, you have to be 18.
Okay. I was not aware of that. I thought once you were allowed in the series, you could run. I didn't realize there was restrictions on. Is it just Daytona and Talladega or even the mile and a half speedways?
I can't run the Monster Mile. I can't run Daytona. I can't run Talladega. Anything they classify as a super speedway. I think it's mile or mile and a half. I definitely can't run Daytona. I know that. But I can run Phoenix as of right now. I can run any road course. Road courses are fine even if they're bigger than a mile.
Right. Yeah, it's a different style. But I was just curious. I mean, did you have any options or plans to maybe try like Iowa? That's a smaller track. That was a recent race.
Yeah, Iowa was definitely one that we wanted to run. It was on our schedule to run. I would have loved to go there, but it didn't work out quite so well with the team. It was a really short notice, and we weren't quite able to come up with the funding to do it because right now we're kind of self-funding at this point, so we're searching for sponsorship, but it's really hard to get. So right now we're self-funding, so it's a little bit hard to get to all these tracks. But we're trying. We got Bristol covered, and we're trying to get to Phoenix. But Iowa was just one that we weren't able to get to.
So
that
would be
the race. Obviously, is sponsorship, right? I mean, you get yourself at the ground floor of a good company. You know that can drive you a long way.
Correct. Yeah. We have a few deals going right now that. Hopefully we'll be coming through shortly, and that'd be ideal, and hopefully I'll be able to race the rest of the season and next year. So that's our plan, and then as soon as I turn 18, get into an Xfinity car. So that won't be till next August.
I want to touch with you at some greater length here in 1 second on sponsorship, right? But let me just clarify what I believe I just heard there. We're going to run, obviously, at Bristol tomorrow night. What you're doing, what your team is doing at this point right now, is you've got your sights then set on Phoenix as being the next one?
Correct, yes. Phoenix.
Okay.
Phoenix hopefully will be the next one.
Okay. All right. Now, one of the things we have talked about here at length, and again, I've said we've been on the air now for 5 years, and we've talked at length about sponsorship and sponsorship, how difficult it is to get, how it seemingly is getting more and more obviously difficult to get. That's got to be the toughest thing going. How much time do you find yourself working on getting sponsorship when you're not on the track?
Yeah, I mean, sponsorship is definitely one of the hard ones. I myself try to spend as much time as I can, but I'm still in high school, so when I'm not at school, I'm at home just searching through the internet, searching through the phone book, watching things on Friday nights, just looking at those businesses and seeing how they're doing, and I go door to door sometimes on my way home. I'll see a company that looks good, and I'll stop in there and try and talk to them.
So no joke. I mean, it is literally shoe leather. You're literally cold calling and knocking on doors.
Yeah, I mean it's my second full time job besides working with my dad or going to school. It's the only other thing I'm doing, and except going to the gym. And there's a lot that comes with racing. It's not just at the track on the race day. It's all that leads up to it, and all the sponsorship that's needed, and the diet and the workouts and all that. So the sponsorship's definitely one of the ones that's a tough one, but I keep on top of that the best I can, and getting to the gym and getting fit for this race and whatnot. So yeah, sometimes I just have to go door to door and just talk to businesses, but right now it looks like we may have something coming through, so we may be good.
Well, I mean, honestly, like I said, we've had numerous drivers on in the past talking about, and you know, I've had a couple of NHRA drivers on, and boy, oh boy, they really work at it and struggle at it. Some of them over there. So, talk to us about the sponsors that you currently have that we're, you know, obviously if we tune in tomorrow night, we're going to see on your truck for tomorrow.
Yeah. Luckily, I've got Support Military on board, and ASAP Appliance Service. That's got them on board, so they were able to give us a little bit of fun. Whatever helps, anything helps to get us here. So we're pulling strings trying to make it happen. But luckily, we were able to get Bristol to happen. So hopefully we can get Phoenix to happen. That's the next big one. Phoenix will be really significant in Bodine's eyes, because I need to get approved for the bigger tracks, and if he sees me run Phoenix, that'll be a really good one. That's a large track.
And would it be safe to say, Bryce, that if there's anything that would prevent you from getting to Phoenix, it would be perhaps maybe a sponsorship?
At this point, yeah, sponsorship would be definitely made one of the major causes. The truck's all good to go, so right now, we would just be waiting on funding, unfortunately.
All right, so then let's do this. Let's get the plug in here. If there's anybody out there that's listening and they want to get in touch with you about helping you out with that, how do they go about doing that?
Go on my website. My contact's on there. Just give me a call, email me. I'd be more than happy to come out and have an interview with them and talk and see if we can make something happen and build a package for anyone. Like I talk to a lot of businesses, and I think they think the first thing they think when I say, would you
big
like
money
to sponsor a NASCAR Camper World truck, is they think,
can't afford it, right?
Yeah. And so, I mean, there's packages for anyone. We can build a package for anywhere from $5,000 to $30,000. Whatever they're capable of doing would help us. I mean, whether it's just our plane tickets, I mean, anything helps. So we can build a package for anyone if they're looking into doing it.
What I have a question for you regarding that. What is, like, more or less the bare minimum you need to get to, say, Bristol this week? I mean, I remember, I don't know how accurate the numbers are today, but I remember hearing, like, even a set of tires, like $1,500 a pop. How much does it cost just
go
for the weekend? I mean, are we talking like $30,000?
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking a Kyle Busch truck, you're talking anywhere from $100,000 to $120,000.
I mean, for a young guy like you, can you get to the track on like $30,000?
The truck that I'll be racing tomorrow night at Bristol is about tires is like $1,500 a race. I mean, everything adds up. It's hard to get a base price on it. I mean, everything adds up from plane tickets to all the way up. So it could be anywhere from it's hard to tell. I mean, it's expensive, that's for sure.
Oh, hey, I've played around with motorcycles myself, so I understand. I mean, even the gas is more expensive than going to, you know, the local gas station and filling up. I mean, nothing around the word racing in any way is economical. I can tell you that. I know.
Not at all.
Tires are probably your biggest thing. You know, once you get the, you know, the vehicle and the engine and, you know, all that stuff, you know, in place, then it's just the maintenance alone is brutal.
Correct.
That's just, I was just kind of trying to get a rough idea of what the minimum would be to even get a car, you know, to attract these days.
Yeah, it's a full-time job for these guys at the shop, just getting the truck ready throughout the week. I mean, they're working on this thing night and day, and all the teams are. They bring them back Monday morning, and they start on them and getting another truck ready. So it's definitely a full-time job for these guys. So, and they don't run on dollar bills. They run on $100 bills when it comes to NASCAR, so it's expensive.
Well, I, you know, I'll tell you, what I think is helpful, though, is when you can say, as you just did there, Bryce, you know, hey, you know, for as little as $5,000, we can talk to you. We can work a package out with you. You know, $5,000 to $30,000. Listen, that at least gives somebody who might be listening here right now at least a raise. What is your website, Bryce, that they could go to?
What was that again? I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, what is your website?
My website's BryceNapierRacing.com.
Okay. All right. So if they go to that, they can find out all the information they need to get in touch with you. Bryce Napier, Bryce Napier Racing. Is that, did I get that right? .com?
Yep, that's correct. BryceNapierRacing.com.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, it's not just some people think of a sponsorship as just a logo slapped on the truck. That's not it at all. I mean, you can bring your customers to the track, get your customers, or bring your employees to the track, get them away from their jobs, get them a great time. It's not just a logo on the truck as well. So, and there's so many different packages and so much to see and so much more than just a logo or hundreds of thousands of dollars that you're just throwing at a truck. So.
Couple of real quick, I guess, as we go out the door here, a couple of quick closing questions for you I wanted to throw at you. I have seen pictures of you racing in regular stock cars. In fact, pictures of you in a number 88. First of all, tell us a little bit about number 88. Number two, what do you prefer? Do you prefer, I mean, obviously, you've only had the one experience now at Martinsville, but you'll get your second experience tomorrow night in a truck. But what would you say you prefer at this point?
Yeah, so I was number 88 in my late model. That was my dad's a hardcore Dale Jr. fan. So I was number 88, and that was actually the number of the car when I bought the car from the kid that we bought it from. He was number 88, so it just kind of stuck. And I was number 03 in my Mini Cup car because of Dale Sr. So I've just always been 88 in both my cars that I race. And now in the truck, I was number 1, and then this weekend I'll be number 49. So I don't get to choose my number, but I ran two full seasons in the late model as number 88. First season we ran at Stockton, and I got Rookie of the Year there. And second in the points, and then we raced down at Madera the second year. Raced about a half season down there and a little bit of PCS racing and moved around. And I also, halfway through the season last year, because I was part of the Quickie Driver Development Program, I was able to wrap my car in the Alan Quickie memorabilia Hooters wrap. And so that was really awesome to have on my car, and all the fans really loved that. So, I was a number 7 Alan Quickie car, and I got to take my car to a Hooters restaurant, have an event there, and talk to all the fans about Alan. And it was really cool to talk to. It's cool to talk to all the fans about Alan, like I said before, because I mean he was such a great driver and such a significant driver back in the days. So.
And what would you say at this point is your preference as far as driving them?
As far as driving the truck?
Truck versus, you know, just a regular stock car.
Oh, truck difference between the late model. Yeah, I mean, like I said, the late model feels like a little Mercedes, and the truck definitely feels like a truck. It is a truck. I mean, 3,500-pound Camperworld truck. So it's definitely a big difference, but I like the super late models a lot. They're a lot more sporty and fast, and you can throw them around a lot easier, but the truck's a lot more fun, and you're racing out the competition that you're racing with in the truck series is a lot greater than what you're racing in super late models and whatnot. So that's a lot of fun. I mean, like I said, it's unbelievable out there racing with Kyle Busch. It's definitely something I never thought would happen, so that's pretty cool. And I love racing the trucks. I had to learn at Martinsville how to use a break-in a little bit better because I had to slow down that 3,500-pound truck on a half-mile track for 200 laps. It was a bit of a challenge. So the first 50 laps, right when the caution clock came out, my brakes were toasted. I was completely overheating the front brakes, so I had to put some rear brake in it and get those front brakes cooled off and realign my the way I was driving into the corners and driving in a little shallower instead of driving in so hard. I was just driving it in hard, trying to get some extra speed out of it, flying in the corners and getting on the brakes hard and standing on the nose. So had to learn not to do that. So hopefully here at Bristol, I'll have the brakes down and not overheat them these first 50 laps. But that was just a rookie mistake I made at Martinsville. But I think I got it all covered here for Bristol.
Well, that sounds awesome. Guys, anything else for Bryce before I let him go? I want to tell you, I mean, we wish you the best of luck tomorrow night. We're going to be watching from here at Frat House Sports, I can tell you that. And
absolutely.
We'll be,
I see that 49 truck go.
Absolutely. We'll be looking for you at Phoenix as well. And, again, anybody that would like to help Bryce out in any way at all, Bryce Napier, BryceNapier racing.com is what you want to go to get in touch with them. And we're going to be rooting for you for sure. But my friend, we'd love to have you back in too. Perhaps we get you back on before Phoenix.
Thank you. I had a great time on the show tonight. I really appreciate you guys having me on. It was a lot of fun.
You got it, Bryce. Stay in touch, my friend.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yep.
All righty. Take care. Very mature, guys. Wow.
I'll say.
I got to tell you, I think the thing that really, that I guess astounded me was when he said, well, you know, I only got a chance to practice in the truck once, and it wasn't even at Martinsville. Wow.
That's the way it is, I think, once you become a professional race driver. You get, you know, you get what you get sometimes. I mean, we've seen it before where people hop into cars and, you know, cold. I mean, Brad Keselowski just did it at Iowa in Xfinity. No practice on the track, goes in and, you know, the race. But, I mean, granted, Keselowski's got a lot more experience, but, you know, that's what you do in this series. You got to go when you can go, I guess. it, you know, we were talking a little bit about cost, you know, even practicing the truck. You got to buy tires and you got to buy gas. And if you got to rent track time, you know, that isn't cheap because certain, you know, you have requirements. You got to have like ambulance service on hand and track workers. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that go involved. A lot of times teams will get together to get the track, you know, stuff paid for and get, you know, three or four teams practicing. But even that, you got to think, wow, you know, for somebody who's looking for sponsors, that's tough. He's probably lucky he even had that, to be honest with you.
And to be, and you know, you're saying, well, you know, and I'm driving home and I'm just, oh, that looks like a good place. I'll just stop and talk to them.
Yeah.
I mean, holy smokes.
He's pretty
I mean,
together
listen,
for a 17-year-old who's, I thought he said he was still in high school too. So, you know, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
He's going
and
into
again,
a senior year.
Right.
Yeah. And again, as I pointed out, even at the top of the program, I mean, you know, so many drivers we've had on here before. Who, and guys, you all know it. We've heard it so many times. You know, they come from a family of that. And so they know what goes into it. You know, this is a kid who didn't, you know, maybe he had a clue. Maybe people told him. But he really hadn't, he didn't have anybody that kind of was directly around him that had gone through it themselves. And that's an amazing thing. I mean, look, I owned my own company for a number of years, and trust me, I did my share of cold calling where, you know, you're just driving around, and it's like, yeah, I think I'll just pull in on and drop in on these people. That's tough to do, and I got to be honest with you, I can't imagine doing it at the age of 17. And for something like, and I think as you just heard Bryce say, you know, the misconception is that you're talking about a big ticket item here. You want me to help you out with this? What do you think I'm made of? You know, but as you just heard, I mean, they'll work something out with somebody for as little as $5,000. I mean, which, all right. I mean, you know, for some people that might be quite doable, you know. So, all right. Well, anyhow, that was fun. That was fun. And again, much luck to Bryce Napier. We're going to be tuning into him tomorrow night. That race, by the way, will be on FS1, I believe. I'm almost positive. In fact,
yeah,
yes, I am
looking
at it.
Yeah, all the truck races are on FS1.
It will be on FS1 tomorrow night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
I believe our buddy is the commentator on FS1. Am I right? The,
who? Vince Welsh?
Yeah, Vince Welsh. Yeah, he calls
Vince
all the
Welsh.
Trucks on FS1. Yep.
So, in fact, I had invited Vince to give this a listen to tonight. I wonder if he did. Yeah, so we'll be checking that out from here tomorrow night. No. Well, I guess we'll have the Olympics on as well. But I would imagine that the truck race will take front and center tomorrow night.
Yeah, we got to support.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And again, we hope to see him out there in Phoenix as well. The Phoenix race, by the way, comes up much, much later in the season. That comes up on Friday, November 11th. So there you go. That would be hopefully the next time that we get to see, I guess, the number 49. Check it out tomorrow night. And for anybody that's interested to giving Bryce a hand, again, it's BryceNapierRacing.com. All right, there you go. A little bonus coverage for you here tonight on Frat House Sports Radio and on Frat House Sports' Racetream Motorsports Hour. Guys, thanks very much for jumping in here tonight and helping out with that. And many thanks again to Bryce Napier for joining us this evening. You will be able to catch clips of this, bits and pieces of this again. I might bring some clips of it on Thursday night, our Thursday night program. That'll be the next time that we are on the air Thursday night for our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show. We'll be here on Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We will turn it right around again on Friday night for our regular Racetrain Motorsports Hour program. I might bring you some clips of this conversation again that night, or I may, in fact, bring them to you on Saturday on my relaxed Frat House Saturday program on Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Racetrain Motorsports Hour on Friday night this week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and then Saturday, 2 p.m. for a Frat House Saturday program. So we're going to go Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week. All right, there you go. There's our lineup for this week. Many thanks to everybody that's listened in here this evening. And many thanks again to Bryce Napier for joining us tonight. Hey, in the meantime, folks, there's plenty of sports out there tonight. You know what you can do. You can go out there and catch it all. Hey, you got the Olympics going. You got some Major League Baseball going, I'm sure, in your region. So get out there and, hey, enjoy your sports.